Welcome to the Balance Boldly podcast for ambitious women in business and a few brave men. I'm your host, Nikita Rin Thigpen, always excited to be in the space with you. All right. You know, for those of you who have been following the BBP, you know I'm about that nerd life, hashtag nerd life all day long. I love it. I'm unapologetic about it. And I feel like I attract not only the potent humans, but the nerdy potent humans who are nerdy just like I am, which I have to say, once I introduce this next potent human, you'll understand completely what I mean. I want to welcome Dr. Gia. She is a board certified nephrologist and assistant professor at the Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell, New York. She is also the founder of PublishMD. I told you she was a nerd like we are. I'm just telling you, I was just warning you. Where she coaches clinicians on how to publish research papers, build authority, and achieve their academic goals without the overwhelm. Currently, she is an active clinical researcher. I don't know how she's balancing all of this, and has received more than $1 million of grant funding from the National Institutes of Health and Foundational Grants. Dr. Gia, welcome to the BBP. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much, Nikita, for having me here.
I'm so excited to have you. So one of the things I was telling Dr. Gia when we were in the green room, guys, before we got started, that I was nerding out going through her YouTube, which is fantastic. As an academic, as a researcher, as someone who's in another doctoral program, don't ask me why, I'm just a glutton for punishment, doing research papers, which are not my jam. They're not my love. I don't look forward to breaking things down into review lit and discussion and all the other things. So because it's not a normal way for me to write, I do find myself having to go back and make sure that I have my P's and Q's together. So your website, your YouTube is really helpful, especially when you're not someone who's doing that kind of writing all the time, the way you and your students are doing it. But what I love most is you didn't just talk about the kind of sections of research papers, which is really important, especially when you're working on it. But you talked about success habits and mindset and why it was so important to make sure that you prepare your mind, body, and spirit before you give yourself away through your writing, especially when you're doing things that can be pretty intensive or long. A lot of research can take years, you know, to pull it all together. It's not something you sit down and write in an hour, like a social media post or something. So I really did appreciate that. And it made me curious what led you to your work, especially as a nephrologist, like what made you decide to come down this pathway?
Right. So going from a nephrologist being trained as a doctor has a different skill set as a researcher, yeah. You know, because being a nephrologist is about talking to patients, trying to come to a diagnosis, a lot of patient connection. Whereas research is a lot of alone time where you're just looking at the books, looking at the internet, looking at papers and thinking and sitting quietly. And why I made that jump really was because it was all about the impact. Mm-hmm. I went into medicine because I want to help patients. Yeah. But I realized I'm only helping one at a time. And along the way, I feel like, what if I can do more? And so the natural step for me is, oh, I can do research. If I can publish research papers, means one paper I can help, you know, thousands or 10,000 at the same at one time. And that kind of led me through it. And that journey was really hard because it's a different skill set. And so now I have to go back all the way and become a newbie again to learn how to write, how to read papers. These are new things I have to do, how to balance both of them. And that was how I got into it. And until I got better, you know, the first 2 years, I was not good at it. And yeah. So it wasn't fun. I didn't really like it. I don't know, is this a bad choice? Until I finally kind of met the threshold and felt, okay, I think I can do this now. That was when I truly found it enjoyable. And that kind of led me to the next step. Like, oh, these are the areas where people are struggling with. This is that small part that people tend to get stuck at, you know, all the roadblocks. And I thought, okay, let me just do a few things. I'll mentor my colleagues or peers who are going through the same process, trying to go from physician to a researcher. So that was how I started with the business.
Yeah, but I love a few like components of this because now you have my brain going very much like breaking it down like a paper, right? the fact that you had this beautiful, wonderful helping healing skill as a nephrologist, and you got to be in the trenches, if you will, with people having various pains, various challenges, spooky things going on with their body that they didn't understand, and realizing that, yes, you can and did very successfully help them at that place in their life, but you felt something calling you to do something bigger than yourself, bigger than the one-to-one kind of midwifing of the process. You know, midwives work with one patient at a time. They cannot, to my knowledge, help multiple women at the same time birth children, right? Like, you went from that stage into saying, well, let me scale this and do it in a way where it's not just about the financial scale, which is very helpful, very supportive, but it's also an opportunity for you to help so many more people in a small amount of time. So your resources, your energy, your time is freed up a little bit for your family, for yourself, for the things that you've worked really, really hard at, even in your doctor, you know, your actual MD phase, to be able to do, but you probably didn't have a lot of time to enjoy it because of the 12, 16, 18 hour days, not to mention residencies before and team no sleep, which we do not believe in here over at the BBP, all of that. And then you went into this other new thing, which can be scary for people when you create a transition for yourself, because you did. You stepped into something that, yes, you were familiar with research because there were things you had to do when you were an undergrad and graduate and all of it. But to go into it in such a unique way, even before you super niched down into the kind of, I don't want to say painful, but more problematic areas of writing a paper, you could have backed out, Dr. Gia, when you were like, this first 2 years, I don't know, this is a little sucky. I don't really know if I like it as much as, you know, I had hyped myself up before. And I think a lot of people listening to the show can relate to that. When you create a transition for yourself as an opportunity to do something different, better, bigger, give yourself more time, freedom, whatever it is, and then you get in it and you're questioning, did I make the right choice? For you, in that 2 years of kind of pushing through and getting to that sweet spot of like, oh, I'm better at it, I feel good, what kind of mindset stuff did you do for yourself to help you not quit too early?
Such a great question. Because I almost quit. Not because I wanted to quit, mm-hmm. is because when I graduated from my master's, that's how I kind of started with the research career. I had zero publications. And what that means is I have no prospect. And I could not find an institution who wants to take me as a researcher. They will hire me as a doctor, but not as a researcher. So even when I wasn't ready to quit, I was almost going to be kicked out of that field. But for some magical, miraculous reason, my current job, the division chief, when I had to interview, somehow he saw something in me and he gave me the opportunity. He said, you know what? There's something. I know you haven't published, but somehow I believe in you. Let's give you 3 years of protected time and no pressure. If you can't get it done and you can't get a grant by then, we'll go back to clinical work. Mm-hmm. And it's just that opportunity, that understanding somebody gave me a chance to try again. It made me so fired up. And I felt like I would never let them down. I can never let myself down. So I worked so hard for the first 2 years, really on all the things that were roadblocks, mm-hmm. how to write. Writing was my biggest thing. And also how I think about research question was also another thing. So I was really working on hiring coaches myself, hiring different coaches, whatever I can get help with to speed up the process. And so that was, it was not just me trying to push it through myself, but having somebody at the outside for some reason believed in me. It was that two thing that created the catalyst in persisting.
No, I love so much about that because we often forget how important it is to feel seen. right? Like you needed to feel seen in your new transitionary process. Like, hey, like I know I don't look like the normal person to be in this part because I don't have, you know, tons of research. I'm not a tenured professor, which we understand, all, you know, you have to have research to be at that level or to be considered on that particular tier. You were fantastic already, right? Like you were already fantastic, but you were missing some of the quote unquote normal milestones mm-hmm. that someone right. else in research would have had. And I have to go back to a statement that I've been saying since my kids are 27 and 23, and I've been telling them since they were infants, normal is not necessary, right? Like there's, you know, there's so much that's normal that people expect us to do, industries expect us to do, spouses expect us to do. Like there's all these expectations that we can prove them to be expired when we are seen by the right supportive sponsor or ally that just does exactly what your person did for you and was like, you know what? Let me give you the room that you need to show me who I already know you are. They already saw it in you, even though things didn't quite look that way, you know, in that moment, they saw it in you. And that in and of itself is a whole freaking podcast episode. Right. That is amazing. Wow.
Because it also made me think that it's because somebody gave me an opportunity, I need to not only give grace to others, but also give grace to myself.
Yes.
Right? Because they believed in me. I have to believe in myself too.
Yes.
Right? If not, it's not going to work. And it also created this whole snowball. Now I start to believe in people. If people make mistakes or don't perform in the first year or 2 years, you know, maybe they just need a bit of guidance. Maybe they need somebody to give them a bit of space to work on things. So that had created a lot of beautiful culture within our division, not just for me, but for all the other staff members, because we all have our own little things. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I mean, roll forward a little bit. You showed up fully because you secured over $1 million in grant funding. Like you know what I mean? Like that's nothing to sneeze at. So You definitely put your time, your energy, your resources, and I dare say your money where your passion for this new transition was. And it proved really successful for you. And I see you now in this even higher level of personal branding, which allows you to do even more with coaching and mentoring other people who just didn't know that the possibility of transitioning in the way that you did was possible.
Right. And I want to mention one more thing. I've always believed, like my favorite word in my life is alignment. Mm. And why I'm talking about that is because when I started the business, how is it aligned with my original goal and mission to help patients? Mm-hmm. Then I started realizing, yeah, if I can help 1,000 physicians publish their papers, it means that they are helping thousands of patients. And so indirectly, I am even scaling up my love for patient care and improving outcomes. So just kind of the whole journey was in alignment with my original mission. And so that's why I really love the business side of things.
Oh, that makes my heart sing. So our mission at Big Pro Balance and Relationship Management Institute, the company my husband and I own, is all about building stronger families so they can create these new, what we call, what you just described as a multi-generational imprint. Is if you can help one that has something bigger than them, it helps the other and the other and the other, and especially intergenerationally within our family composites, which obviously help our colleagues, our resources, the people, the strangers we come in on the street that maybe we would have been nice to, which is really superficial, but now we can be kind because mm-hmm. we've done the self-work and we really have, we're more in alignment, to use your word, with the things that are bigger than us and aren't so self-absorbed, which is really helpful. Oh, I love, I didn't even know you were going to go there. This was not scripted, guys, at all. The BBP is never scripted. And that was like chef's kiss, perfect. That brings me to another question for you. Why did you decide, out of all the places you could play, to play on YouTube?
So I went because I felt that for me, I like efficiency. So, YouTube, the upfront work is a lot, but mm-hmm. it pays back in multiples. And so of all my videos, there's some that keep generating views over and over again and keep generating subscribers and people who like clients too. And so I realized if I can create a good video, that will pay me back a lot. So like spend, people like to talk about 80-20 rule, you know, put your, you know, as long as you can get the good enough project, you're done. But what I realized more recently is that, yes, you know how to focus most attention for the 20%, but it will take a lot more work to get to a great product or very good product. And so I realized of all the social media and all the different platforms, YouTube was the best for me. And so putting that, it has outsized return. So now I have a slightly different framework, just not just get out a good enough product. That's it has its time and place. But at this moment, what is the best product I can create at my level?
Yeah. No, I love that. When you said I love efficiency, I was about to say, of course you do. Of course, for so many reasons. And, you know, as a MD, as a researcher, as a woman that's managing many beautiful, wonderful, important hats, you have to appreciate efficiency. But for you to show up in your visibility on YouTube, I thought that that was uniquely different because a lot of scientists, a lot of people who come from that similar industry are so afraid of the camera. Because, you know, that's not what you've grown up with, right? Like that's when you were in medical school, that's not what you had to do. And on the academic side, that's not what you had to do. Everything was head down in a book or potentially in person with your residency and the clinicals and different things that you had to do. So I thought that was pretty unique.
Yeah. But so the first video took me like 3 hours to record. Because I couldn't get it right. I kept repeating myself. And then the actual video is only 10-minute video. It was 3 hours of recording. So it takes time. Even for me, it seems natural now, but the first few times, it was really hard being looking at myself in the camera. And when I had to edit, hearing my own voice was just killing me.
Oh, yes. I relate to that. When we first started, our company was in 2011. And my husband, who I love to life, and who is going to listen to this episode, he was, of course, my videographer, right? Like, so he was standing there, he held the camera, and that was a challenge, you know, trying to look at the camera without looking at him, making faces at whatever it was that I was doing. That was hard. So then he would set the camera up, so I had to stare at it. And I realized that one of my challenges is I need energy. Like I feed off the energy. So there's no energy coming off the metal lens, the metal, you know, camera frame or plastic frame around this glass eye that's staring and in my soul that I never, because I'm pretty animated, as you can see. So I never really like look straight at the camera consistently. I kind of talk and my eyes are going wherever my energy is flowing and all of that. It was such a challenge. And it was definitely the 2-3 hours for a 2-minute clip, or back in the day when you had to give your 40 second introduction, all of that. Like that was the worst. It took me hours to get it down. And I also, to this day, I still don't like scripts. Like I like my bullet points. I like my framework with everything, but I like to really get into it from my inner brilliance, not necessarily because I had to like, you know, memorize everything. Ooh, honey.
Well, that's why I think, you know, the podcast is just so much better because you feed off each other as not just staring at the lips.
Yeah, that's a big difference. You've been doing some pretty incredible work. And I heard you earlier when we were in the green room, I had mentioned it to you when we were talking. I heard you say, let me do this before the kids. I was like, oh, she has babies. How old are your children?
8 and 10.
Oh, little people.
Yeah, they're little, yes, but much growing very fast, faster than expected.
Yeah, it does fly by. So you're in school age time, which means homework and dinner and making sure nutritional snacks and all the things are there. Also probably not getting any privacy when you want to go to the bathroom or do anything else.
Correct.
For yourself. So as you're managing your growing, beautiful family, how are you creating time to give yourself permission to pause?
Oh, this is very, very important for me, especially over the past 3 months, because I was trying to balance the physician side and the research side and also the business side. And I go back and forth like, oh, it's time for me to do research. And then I'll neglect the business. And then, oh, no, I haven't touched the business side in a while, so I will neglect the research. So it's like flagellating and back and forth. And what I realized over the past 3 months is I had to pause and think and also give myself time to process what I need to do. And I came across this concept, Japanese concept called MA, M-A, which actually means the in-between space, which can be in-between space between time, in-between space between two events, the in-between space between words, like the pause in between. And the concept of this MA is that this in-between space is not a vacuum, is not a negative space. Instead, it's a positive, active space that is very important, that has energy. And so now, instead of using all the empty space in between as a negative vacuum that I need to fill with something, I'm treating it as an active space. Active space with energy that I need to guard and love and process. Use that time for me to think, because that's when I really feel grounded, when I actually have time, sit there, either journal or think or walk and even do exercise. And it has created a new version of me, like not just permission, but an actual necessity for me.
That's the mic drop moment right there. That's beautiful. I've never heard of this specific technique or framing of MA. The creating spaciousness for yourself is exactly what I stand for. It's what I call being intentionally selfish, because there's so much power in that spaciousness when it's intentional and you're utilizing it so you can get the greatest gift out of it, which is usually your self-forgiveness time, your acceptance time, your reflective time. Sometimes it's sitting and wiggling your toes, because maybe that's just what your body needs. You need to stretch your calves and wiggle your toes. Those tiny little things that we don't think about, right? I love that you're able to really create those frames around it and use it as what you said is active or activated space. Because I think guilt for a lot of founders, leaders, especially women who happen to also be mothers and spouses and partners, is really hard. They have so much guilt around creating the space and using the space effectively versus stuffing it with other things to kind of justify the break, like the vacation where you're not really on vacation.
Right?
And you're checking emails. And doing all the things. So I'm celebrating you for taking that time and doing that for yourself, Dr. Gia. That's not a small thing at all.
I appreciate that, because this is a message that we have to tell everybody. You know, all the space is not a vacuum. It's something we need to really guard and guard it with our life. It is very precious.
I love that. So where can people connect with you to find more about Dr. Gia and all the wonderful things you are doing, especially on YouTube?
So you can find me on YouTube, which is Published MD. That's the YouTube channel. Or you can email me directly at info@publishedmd.com.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for carving out time tonight away from the 8 and 10-year-olds for the moment, who I'm sure are just dying to get access back to you, and for really showing up so fully today. For those of you who are listening who don't know, technology gremlins were trying to make our day crazy, but we did not allow it. So thank you, Dr. Gia, for pushing through.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Just love the energy and the vibe here.
Thank you. Balance Boldly listeners, as always, you're welcome. I told you that I will bring you nothing less than potent humans like Dr. Gia. So thank you for showing up fully, for listening to us, for following through. But I have to ask for you unapologetically. The first is to think of at least one person who is listening, who needs to listen to this specific episode with Dr. Gia's story and share it with them. Don't give any context. Just, I heard something great, thought of you, and push share, because we don't want to kind of influence other people's opinions based on what you're going to say and shape whether or not they should tune in when they really need to hear her story. So please do share that first and foremost. And second, I want you to go and remember to enjoy the balance of your day, but do it boldly.